Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
There's zero chance I can pawn myself off as some sort of a political operative or expert in campaigning. What I can say that I believe I'm pretty strong at is common sense. And something's going on here at the start of the year that makes no sense to me at all. It really began at the end of last year, and it seems to be ramped up now. And I don't know why so many conservative people with such prominent platforms seem hell-bent on repeating the same message over and over and over that they just shouldn't be saying. That most people in the middle, by the way, most swing voters, most Americans, most people don't care about this anyway. They just don't care. You and I may like hearing it. Red meat, conservatives, Republicans, whatever, may love hearing it. We may feast on it. We may consume the news. We may think more of a political leader or operative or somebody out there, a pundit, repeating this over and over and over. But there is nothing to be gained by doing it. I don't understand why it happens. I've seen it happen on both sides. There is obviously a marketing campaign, a positioning in this country that has always existed. Americans like to identify with number one. Car dealers like to say, we're the number one volume dealer in the Midwest. We're the number one selling men's suit clothier. We're the number one this or that. Everybody likes to say they're number one. They're the top. They're the biggest. They're the best. There is marketing to that. But when you look at really giant companies, nobody ever advertises. Twitter doesn't advertise we're the number one, you know, social media platform, or Facebook, or Apple. We're the number one phone seller in the world. They don't do that. You know Apple sells more phones than anyone else. You know what their company is. I don't understand why Republicans seem hell-bent to run around screaming from the top of mountains right now saying, this is going to be a beatdown in November. We're taking back the House. We're crushing the Democrats. They're on the run. We're going to beat them. It's going to be bloody. Pelosi's going to retire. This is all so bad. Biden sucks. They're awful. I can't for the life of me understand that. Again, common sense, Kevin. I'm not a political operative. I'm sure there's plenty of people in politics that say this is absolutely what you do. Let me remind everybody, right at the start of this podcast, that 2 years ago today, January 5th, 2020, 2 years ago today, these same people were saying, Trump will win in a landslide. The GOP's on a roll. We got record employment. We got stock market records. We have prosperity. We have peace at home. The world fears us. We have a wall being built. We have all these things that are popular with the American people. Trump is on a roll. I have a friend that for the better part of 2 years said, I don't even worry about the 2020 election. I don't even think about it. Trump is doing so well, and everyone knows it. He's going to win in a landslide. And all these people that didn't vote for him or didn't like him, maybe don't like his mean tweets, but he's going to win because he's so good at what he's doing. And Americans are making more money. And he's improving the black vote and the Hispanic vote, and all these things are going to get better, and it's going to be a landslide. This thing is over. 2 years ago today, this was being said. Nobody on the left really questioned it. They didn't. They tried everything. They'd thrown impeachment at him. They tried Ukraine phone calls, peeing on a bed in Russia, wiretaps in a New York City Trump Tower. They've tried everything. They tried everything they could. Personal attacks, bankruptcies, anything they could throw at Trump. They did it all. They'd been doing it for 2 years to no effect, basically. Honestly, there'd been no effect whatsoever at that point. And Trump was a popular president. Some of the polling was light. It wasn't showing him at some 55% approval, but we knew how it was going. Every American was doing well. Times were great. This thing was over. Trump was going to steamroll it. Who would want to run? In fact, this was proven out by the roster of candidates the Democrats trotted out there. The fact that Joe Biden was out campaigning and was becoming the nominee for the Democrat Party was all you needed to know. They were throwing in the towel. Let's prop Joe up again. Let's bring in the mayor from Indiana, Mayor Pete. Kamala, I think, had already probably pulled out by January of 2020. I think she'd pulled out of the race. All these people were non-candidates. Nothing was very serious. The Obama machine didn't exactly know what to do. Let's kiss Joe on the cheek. We're not getting Trump out. Things are going too well. That was January 5th, 2 years ago, 2020. Trump was a lock, and we were all saying it. And it was a huge mistake. Here comes COVID. Then they attack him. Now everybody's really scared. People sitting at home weren't really scared for a lot of things. They weren't scared that Trump was a meanie. They weren't scared in their lives that Trump had been a womanizer in the past. They weren't scared. They didn't buy in a lot to the impeachment and think that he was some sort of a traitor and he was selling out to other countries. Nobody really believed that stuff. They tried and they tried and they tried and none of it stuck. But COVID was real. We had scientists, and Trump was part of this. He propped up every single day Fauci and Scarf Lady, knowing what their political bent is. He brought in members of the deep state swamp and propped them up in front of the American public and said, here they are. These are the experts. He's a delegator. Trump is a delegator. He makes decisions and he allows other people to influence him. And he'll say, and he went along with Fauci. He went along with a lot of this stuff and it proved to be wrong. He found partway through some more conservative doctors. He brought them in. He started to chart his own path and say, wait a second, this looks like it's affecting the elderly and the sick and things like that. He did sort of correct, but it was too late. The Democrats got control of COVID. They got control of it. You cannot convince me right now that they can't get control of something this year and change everything. To sit here in January with midterm elections coming in November, Karl Rove is on Fox with his whiteboard. Look at this. It's going to be a slaughter. He's going to set 7-point advantage here. The 24th Democrat announced yesterday that they're not running for Congress. 24th. Pelosi's losing all her candidates. There are all kinds of stories out there that Pelosi's going to run, win her seat, and step down. That's going to be it. I don't think she wants to be House Minority Leader. They'll let somebody else do it, and that'll be it. She'll essentially be gone. Good riddance. Ted Cruz is running around doing all these interviews and tweeting, this is going to be a slaughter. We got him on the run. We're going to kill him in November. What good does that do? What vote does that get you in November? What does it do? All right, this is people doing it for personal gain. I could come on here and be your cheerleader. I could sit here and do the podcast every day and go, oh, God, we're going to kill him in November. How in the world do I know if the Republicans are going to kill the Democrats in November? Have we not learned anything? What if there's a crisis? What if there's a new virus? What if there's a war? What if there's an attack? I tell you right now, somebody attacks America or an American base somewhere around the world, America will rally behind Joe Biden. He will take action. There would be a conflict. We would go fighting, and you don't usually change presidents at that time. Don't think it's possible? Did you think COVID was possible? Did you think anything could derail Donald Trump? I didn't. It was too good in America. Everything he was doing was working. Prices were down. Wages were up. Unemployment was low. Stock markets were at all time. Everything was good. Walls being built. We're stemming. I mean, these are very, very popular issues with American voters. And what they said was, we don't care. We think he's the wrong guy for COVID. We think there's too much turmoil. Our lives kind of suck now because we're all scared of this virus. And we're going with Sleepy Joe. Now, we get into the election fraud and the numbers, whatever. They did it. So let's factor that in. You're going to sit here in January and tell me that in November, you don't think there's going to be giant ballot drops somewhere in the middle of the night? We're going to have extended mail-in voting again with no meaningful rules changes. And by meaningful rules changes, I'm not talking about, you know, how long you have to vote in advance. I'm talking about anything that goes into the U.S. mail to me is tainted. It just is not secure. It's not. We have not put deadlines in and said, we have to receive your vote by election day. That seems very simple to me. If you want to vote by mail, if you want to vote in advance, we need it. I would do the day before. Close of business on Monday, the day before the election. We must receive your ballot. We're going to count all those. We'll count them as they come in. We'll verify them as they come in. That seems fine to us. We'll verify them. And at 5 o'clock on Monday, that's it. We don't accept anymore. This office is closed. We're going to have poll workers. People are going to see it. That's it. Here's all the ballots that are in here, and it's over. Let's lock the doors. Let's work all night. Let's count them, and that's it. By the time Tuesday rolls around and live elections happen, you've already submitted to your city or county or your state, here's the number of mail-in ballots we received, and here's the tally. We're not going to release it to the public yet. Let people go vote, but here it is. We counted them overnight. This is our official number that we will be submitting for verification, certification. But we haven't done any of that stuff. The states have taken some actions that they think will help. Maybe we'll get more people on the lookout all night long, watching for these giant trucks to be dropping giant mailbags of ballots. It's amazing how many came in Tuesday night, election night overnight, as compared to the next few days, although they still came in the next few days. We saw a local school board, a woman in Olathe, that was on this podcast, lose her election 4 days after the election. She was up by 30 votes, and she wound up losing by 20, I think. So all these mail-ins came in. Whoa, look, lo and behold, the Democrat won. Really? You don't think that can happen again? Or how about this? You don't think the Democrats right now have found another way to fix something there in their direction? They know they're in trouble. You think they're just going to sit back and say, okay, we're going to lose in November. No big deal. We'll rally up and come get them in 24. Do you think they're going to do that? Or do you think right now they're finding a way with Facebook, Twitter, all these big companies, social media platforms, giant legacy corporate news organizations, you don't think they're cooking something up behind closed doors? You think they're just going to sit here for 10 months and this is going to be a landslide in November? This does nobody any good. I'm tired of hearing it. I will not be subjected to cheerleaders. I'm sorry. I won't be influenced by them. You can't convince me this thing is over in November. You can't. It's too far away. We don't live in that world anymore. We always judge this by what happened 20 years ago or 40 years ago and say, well, every sitting president, you know, Congress flipped. Okay, sure, records are meant to be broken. How are they broken? We live in a time that everything is so fast. The news cycle isn't even 24 hours anymore. We always talk about a 24-hour news cycle. It doesn't exist. The 24-hour news cycle is gone. We've got a minute-by-minute news cycle. Everything can change today. The entire election in November could be changing right now while you're listening to this podcast. And yet the Karl Roves and Ted Cruz's and Rand Paul's and all these different, Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, people are all just running around going, we got him. It's over. There's no reason to, another thing. There's no reason to vote. We've got them. Really? You're just going to keep Republicans at home? Tell them it's done? I can't see one positive in doing this. Look, the message is different. Stop talking about winning in November. Stop. Start describing them, period, as the party of crisis. This is it. Democrats are the party of crisis. You're going to have a clear choice to make this year. You can lose your fear. You cannot let them scare you. You got your own life. You can understand that you can't fix climate. You can't fix COVID. Nobody can. Viruses can't be stopped. You're not a racist. Don't let them tell you are. Whatever benefits you're receiving, if you are on Social Security or food stamps or some sort of disability, whatever, it's not going to get cut off. That whatever program is in place now isn't going away, because that doesn't happen in America. We don't get rid of programs. We don't. We couldn't get rid of Obamacare, so it stays. If you have something the government does for you and you like, it's not going away. That never happens in this country. Don't listen to them. They're the party of fear. They're going to fearmonger you to death this year. It's an election year. You're going to get bombarded with fear. They will come up with new fears. My personal belief is we're about to hear a new term called flu-rona, because a case has been spotted in Israel. This is their next chance. Did you know you can have influenza and coronavirus simultaneously? There was no flu last year. There was no flu. Everything was chalked up as coronavirus, as COVID. Oh, not this year. They're trying to cook something else up on you now. We found a case in Israel. There's an unvaccinated woman. She's pregnant. She has influenza and COVID. Oh, my God, the horrors. Oh. You don't think these people can cook that stuff up? Do you know what that will sound like to millions of Americans in the middle? You can get influenza and COVID at the same time. That's lethal. That's so deadly. Don't underestimate these people. They're the party of fear, the party of crisis. And it just needs to be that simple. Simplify this for the American people. Are you tired of one political party crying wolf? That your life is about to end, that you'll never get out of this, that you're going to suffer, your life sucks, you're a racist, the climate is going to melt us all, we're all going to starve or die or get swept up by rising sea tides, we're going to have more COVID, more viruses, more death, a winter of death for the unvaccinated, a long, dark winter of death. Do you want to be affiliated with these people, or have you heard enough? Have you heard enough that you suck, your life sucks, and the Democrats are the only people that can help you and fix you? Have you had enough of that lying? Are you done with that? If you are, your vote is right here. We believe in you. We don't believe in the government. We believe in you and your life. You can do it. You got this. Forget the scare tactics. Forget the fear. Promote this. How about this one? This should be a national ad campaign for the Republican Party this year. The top five outbound states in America are all run by Democrats. Let me clarify exactly what that means. The top five states where the most people left and moved out to somewhere else were all led by Democrats. That is a statistical impossibility. They don't lead that many states. Republicans lead more states than Democrats, so they lead the minority of states, but they lead all five of the states that most have people fleeing, leaving, out we go. Run on that. Advertise that. Promote that. Don't sit here and tell people it's over in November and it's going to be a wipeout. I can't see one possible good thing out of that. I can't. I just can't. I can see a flu Rona thing coming up. I think it's next. I think they move on from Omicron and the next two or three, flu season lasts through April. They got 4 months. They can scare you with flu Rona. If they invent the term now, flu Rona can be used in October and November of next year around the elections. You could get the flu and the Rona at the same time. That didn't happen last year, but oh, Omicron's different. Now you can have the flu and Omicron at the same time. Oh my God. What are you going to do? We had one child in America last year die of the flu. One. Do you want to hear the honest truth? The honest truth about this with COVID is COVID has saved lives in children. They didn't get the flu. The flu didn't go around. The flu is dangerous for kids. 200 kids typically die every year of influenza in this country. We have 60,000 people total every year that die of influenza. That number was off the charts way low last year because of COVID. The flu didn't go around like it normally does. The flu also affects people that are unhealthy. I always use lung cancer with these respiratory viruses. If you have lung cancer and you get the flu, that could be the end. It can lead to pneumonia, your lungs fill with fluid, and you don't live. So is that a flu death? I don't categorize things that way. I look at how many things did the person have, and if you're asking me, if you have lung cancer, diabetes, you're overweight, you're older, you get pneumonia because you got the flu, I don't think that's a flu death. That's just me. I just don't. I don't see it that way. But, man, they're going to scare you with this. Flu Rona, baby. Flu Rona. Don't. Just stop. Stop saying it's over in November. Quietly feel good. Appreciate where it is. Understand that a lot of Americans have flipped. They've changed. They like what they see out of the Republicans. They do not like what they see out of the Democrats. But don't sit here and tell people that there's no reason to vote. This thing's over. It's a landslide. KKHI is brought to you by bstock.net. I got an email from Chris at Bstock yesterday. It's very simple. They've never had this many laptops, and they've never sold them this cheap. They got a whole bunch of them in. They didn't sell any really before the holidays, and they just got a shipment in over the last week. They have 200 types of MacBooks from Apple. They have 60 different types of Dell laptops. They have 50 different types from HP and 50 from Lenovo. They will not be undersold. They are all dirt cheap right now at bstock.net. They can ship these easily anywhere in the world. bstock.net, they'll ship it right to you. Or you can visit and save even more. The warehouse, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. These things are going to be typically 30% off what you'll pay for a laptop somewhere else. If you find a price anywhere that is lower, they're going to beat that. But you know, I always hesitate to even say that. They'll do that. That's just a blanket statement of Bstock. They'll beat anything that you bring to them. But it is really, really impossible to find a lower price anyway. Good luck. If you find it, they'll beat it. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Merriam Body Shop, just off I-35 at Johnson Drive. Justin sent me a text yesterday, and because listeners of KKHI have been calling and booking appointments, they're expanding, and they need some good help at Merriam Body Shop. They're looking for guys that can do body work, not painters. Not painters. They're good there. They're looking for dudes that can do body work, and they would love to have someone with 3 years' experience. They're going to pay top dollar, and you're going to like this work environment better than where you work now. If you know somebody that's in the collision repair business and is good at this, they're going to pay more, and they're going to like working in this shop. There are dogs there every day. There's conservatives. It's a fun place to work. It really is a good bunch of people. It's not some big stuffy corporate thing where you got to walk around and, you know, you got all these regulations, and it's just not. This is a great place to work. If you are good at collision repair, you have 3 years' experience, contact Justin at Merriam Body Shop, 913-362-1198. This could be perfect for you or someone you know. And, of course, Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Roberts Robinson just makes it easy. Order your new GM, your Chevy, your Buick, your GMC, through Roberts Robinson. It doesn't matter where you live, you order it. You get on the phone with them, you get on the computer, they show you every package, they build your car with you. You can go to the showroom and do this too. Don't get me wrong. You can sit right down with Tim or Mike and they'll build it for you. They'll order it right in. It'll be there in, what, 10, 12 weeks? You'll have your brand new GM, your Silverado, your Sierra, your Chevy Blazer, whatever it may be, your Buick SUV. Get it exactly like you like it. When inventory is low everywhere, it's hard for you to find exactly the vehicle you want. If you want to build it perfectly for you, this is the way to do it. Contact them at Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com. Doesn't matter who your dealer is or where they are, you want to deal with the best people. These are great conservatives, and they're going to help you get in the perfect vehicle. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. All right, there's crazy stuff out there on the internet. Ooh, no newsflash there, right? Right? I mean, that's no newsflash. Crazy stuff on the internet. I think I've read the craziest thing yet. And this is a writer at a website called The Ringer. The Ringer is successful. It makes money. It's, you know, a lot of places are. And a lot of times you read something and you just flat scratch your head. The Kansas City Chiefs, who have been to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, they are still favored by Vegas to win the AFC, sitting at the 2 seed. They're still favored to win it as the 2 seed. They've got pedigree. They've got experience. They've got all the things you want going into the postseason. That is not a guarantee, but you always take your... We saw this with the Chiefs against the Patriots when the Patriots won that game at Arrowhead and Dee Ford was lined up offsides in the AFC Championship game. We saw this that year. You know what? The Patriots just have pedigree. You got Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, it's what they do. They went on, they won the Super Bowl. Chiefs missed an opportunity. Do you think the Bills are ready? Do you think the Bengals are ready? That's the question we have. Those quarterbacks are scary. Those teams have beaten the Chiefs. It's something you look at and you go, uh-oh. But you know what? Everybody's beating the Chiefs. The Chiefs fattened up on bad teams this year. The good teams beat the Chiefs. And the good teams the Chiefs beat didn't have Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback or wide receivers playing for the Cowboys. They had injuries, COVID, all kinds of different things. That happens over the course of the season. That's not some outward or crazy knock on the Chiefs. It's just a fact. But this dude at the Ringer says, best case scenario for every team in the playoffs, here's what you want to happen in week 17. I am not kidding you. There are people that actually believe the Chiefs are better off losing this week at Denver and becoming the 4 seed instead of remaining the 2 seed with a victory. A win and the Chiefs the 2 seed. I want that. I want that because I think there's a 50-50 chance if the Chiefs then advance, the Tennessee loses its playoff game at home, and the Chiefs then become the de facto number 1 seed. This dude writes that the Chiefs would be better off as the 4 seed because then they wouldn't have to play Cincinnati or Buffalo in the division round. It would kick them into a game where they play each other. It would send the Chiefs to Tennessee to play the Titans. This writer says that's a better road for the Chiefs to go to Tennessee in the division round. Of course, it doesn't address the fact that then you'd have to turn around and what? If you're the 4 seed, you have to play at Cincinnati or at Buffalo? What kind of idiot writes this stuff? I mean, this is really dumb. People lose their minds over something. Sports is the most overthought thing there is. You're trying too hard, man. If you're and specifically, he took every team and he wrote a couple of paragraphs about every team. Here's the best case scenario. And it said what you actually want to have happen as a Chiefs fan is for them to lose this week, become the 4, so they can go to Tennessee the 2nd week and play the Titans with complete disregard that if you're the 4, you're going to be headed out on the road, right? In all likelihood to play in the AFC Championship game. What? 2 seeds, great. If it comes down to it and the AFC Championship game is in Nashville, let's go play that game. I'm in. Let's go. Play your home games, win them, go to Nashville. Count me in. This is absurd. I can't believe people actually get paid to write things like that. And by the way, there's all kinds of people posting that they think that's a better road too. I don't know how any Chiefs fan could think the best road is to go to Tennessee. Until the AFC title game. Any trip to Tennessee before then is a waste. You play at home until then. You play at home until the AFC title game. That's what you want. Don't outthink this. Don't make this too hard. The Chiefs have pedigree. They've been in the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. Vegas still says, even as the 2 seed, they're the favorite to win the AFC. Vegas isn't stupid. Don't read the Ringer. Look at the Vegas odds. 2 seed, this is an important game against Denver. This matters. The Chiefs will get, they got a little bit of a kiss on the cheek. There's not much preparation for Denver. You didn't play them too long ago. They're in your division. You know everything about them. The short week is not a big deal preparing for the Denver Broncos. I'm sorry, it's just not. And the Chiefs defense is going to give the Broncos offense fits. The Broncos are going to have a really hard time scoring. The Chiefs are going to win this game. They're a 10-point favorite. And then they get at least an extra day to get ready for the playoffs. Or should. I can't imagine that the NFL is going to turn around and throw the Chiefs on Saturday again as the 2 seed. It's possible, but I can't imagine they will. I think they'll get an extra day of preparation if they do that. So we got some information this week. There's a website that tracks everything officiating. And it didn't take long for this to get ferreted out. I think ferreting something out is more interesting than saying rat it out. I don't like rats, but I guess we all kind of like ferrets. So this one gets ferreted out by this website. The Chiefs game on Sunday, there's a couple of very interesting statistics about the officials. We'll assume the crew had COVID. Although it has not been said. The white hat, the referee in this game, Ron Torbert, the white hat. We just call him the white hat. If you don't know this, the only official that wears a white hat is the referee. All the other officials on the field wear black hats. So the white hat, the most important guy, the leader of the crew, Ron Torbert, was a substitution before the game for John Hussey, who tapped out. This was to be John Hussey's crew. Torbert was to have the week off. Torbert gets called and says, you got to go in and lead Hussey's crew. He's not working. Then there were 3 other substitutions, including 2 substitutions in the officiating crew against the Bengals that work different positions than they normally work. Two officials in the crew were substitutes out of position, being asked to do a job they don't do. Half of the crew was a substitute. It's an 8-person crew. 4 of them were swapped in, including the lead official. This was not an all-star team. That's not what this was in any way, shape, or form. They broke up a crew that's accustomed to working together, and they got the Chiefs. This is a COVID problem for the Chiefs. The Chiefs made it through their own COVID a little unscathed. They did not make it through officiating COVID very well. This was a train wreck. It was a disaster. To give you an idea of how unusual this game was, there have only been 17 substitutions all year. Every game in the NFL, all season long, 17 substitutions. 4 of them were in the Chiefs game Sunday. So nearly 25%, a quarter of all substitutions were in one game where a crew that's never worked together with an official leading this crew, that it was not his crew, was a mess. It was the mess that we saw that it was, and it was a disaster. I said in a patron podcast on Monday, we did an excellent patron podcast on Monday. A couple of you signed up yesterday. Appreciate that. We'll be doing another patron podcast on Tuesday with Danny Klinkscale, the Between the Lines 2.0, and more later in the week and then the newsletter on the weekends. It's really worth the $5. I think you'll enjoy it. If you like the podcast, I think you'll enjoy it. Go to kkhasissues.com. For $5 or more a month, you could become a patron and get the bonus content. We talked about this a little bit yesterday in the Chiefs game with the way the officiating was, that I was surprised how subdued the Kansas City media have been about the officiating. And look, I think everybody's trying really hard. I've tried really hard my entire career, but I was on an island. You know, most people, I think what's happened is the media have become such fanboys for the Chiefs that they realize this is a place where we cannot be a fanboy. We really shouldn't be saying the refs are out to get them too. You know, I've never been one that, hey, the refs decided this, the refs that. There's always, you know, Tennessee had their college bowl game and the fans went crazy over the referees and the officiating in that game. Look, you always have the opportunity to win a game more comfortably than that, to where the officials can't make a difference. You always have that chance. The Chiefs certainly had that chance. The Chiefs blew a big lead in this game. They did. They had all kinds of opportunities to win. Their defense blew a big lead, and their offense did diddly squat the second half. That's the headline of the game. I was surprised most of the media echoed that. And I don't know why. They have groupthink over on the other side, so it was weird to see them, you know, kind of groupthink the way I think, and that is you can't blame the refs. But if you were ever going to have one of those games where you did blame the refs and you say, this is an atrocity, here's the game. Half the crew is swapped out. The white hat is a substitute. He's running a crew of officials he's never worked with. It was a disaster. I said right after the game, the NFL is going to spend this entire week trying to figure out what the hell went wrong with the officiating crew in Cincinnati. And we have now figured out what it was. It was a disjointed crew that hadn't worked together, that had a white hat working with a crew that he hadn't worked with. Now we know. What were they doing? Trying to impress each other? Watch me throw a flag. Watch me throw a flag. Wait, watch me throw a flag. Is that what happened? Hopefully the NFL learned this won't happen, I don't think, in the playoffs. If it happens in the playoffs, if you get 3 people with COVID in a playoff group, I think you bag the whole 8-person group and send in another group, a team that's worked together all year. Say, look, these guys over here, this 8-person crew tested negative. Let's just go send them. There should be a lot of options in the postseason, but it is it's amazing what happened with that officiating crew. We knew something was wrong. We're watching that game. We're like, this isn't right. This does not look like an NFL game. The officiating does not look right. It doesn't look normal. You know, and they missed maybe the biggest call of the game on the goal line where the Bengals guard jumped off sides or false started, and they missed it. Those line judges were subs. You know what? I'll have to look it up. It's quite possible the line judge on the left side, it was a left guard that jumped and it didn't get called. It is quite possible that person has never been a line judge before. That's not their position. That they were out of position and missed the call. That is absolutely possible. Truly is. It is also possible to get the perfect smile at Fry Orthodontics. Dr. Jeremy's a really good dude, and they run a great business. They've got a location in your neighborhood somewhere in the Kansas City area, wherever you live, and they'd love to help you get that beautiful smile. If you have a teenager or a grandchild that's getting close to being a teenager, 11, 12, 13 years old, the prime time to get them in and say, take a look here. Or if your dentist is saying with your child, you're going to need to get braces, don't even consider anywhere else. They can also do Invisalign with teenagers and give them that perfect smile for the same price as braces with fewer appointments, less time missing school, less painful, it's better hygiene. And for teenagers, it's really important for them not to have their peers see their braces. They're gentle, they're kind, they do great work. Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. This is the first call your business should make this year. You should call Mark Lindquist at 913-745-5344. It does not matter the size of your business. You could be a smaller business like Marion Body Shop. They called 360 Document Solutions, had them put in a whole new phone system. Said, we're getting these phone calls, we've got problems, we can't. They put in a whole new phone system. They gave them some good IT help there. They're helping them out a lot. They can help your, and that's not a big business. That's a small business. They can help your business no matter how big or how small. You could be running a major hospital, and 360 Document Solutions can help you a lot. And they do it anywhere in Western Missouri. Let's say the first 60 miles of Missouri as you're going east and the entire state of Kansas. They have offices all over Kansas. 360documentsolutions.com. 913-745-5344. And, of course, Gary and Cameron and Dave at Joslyn's Jewelry. It might be time to start thinking about Valentine's Day. It's about a month away. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, has a great selection of inexpensive bracelets, necklaces, things like that you can get for your sweetie for Valentine's Day that just reminds her, I love you. Or maybe a special birthday is coming up. Online at joslynsjewelry.com. Visit 95th and Antioch in the non-commissioned, wonderfully warm, loving environment. Ask for Gary or Dave or Cameron, any of them. They're all right there every day at Joslyn's Jewelry. You recommend to your friends and family. Kansas State plays tonight in the Tax Act Texas Bowl. It's the Texas Bowl. I don't think there's going to be a big entertainment value here. You need to fit in one of two categories. You're either a fan of one of these teams or you love football. Now, that's a lot of people that love football. It's a standalone game. It's going to get a good number. A lot of people are going to see K-State football. This would be good for recruiting. If you can say you beat LSU in a bowl game, that's always good. The big story comes out. The line starts moving again. K-State was a slight underdog at the start. They may go off as a one-touchdown favorite tonight. It was announced yesterday that LSU is playing this game with 39 scholarship players. Between opt-outs, defections, injuries, all those things, they're down to a walk-on quarterback and a converted wide receiver at quarterback. I guess that means they're not pulling the red shirt off the quarterback that is capable of winning this game. He played in four games this year as a freshman. He gets to be a freshman again next year if he doesn't play in the game tonight. So maybe they're not going to play him. If I'm Brian Kelly, I'm assuming that I'm going to, you know, I've got four more years. I'm going to find a quarterback in that time that maybe that. And if this guy's that great, if he's so good, I can't find a quarterback this good, which is not possible. If he's so good that this happens, well, he's going to go pro early anyway. So I get it. Listen, the new coach is coming in. The new coach probably said, don't play him. Just keep him for my program. Tonight doesn't matter. So the line moves. But I think it's very important. Again, this is the simpleton that I am, or the common sense person that I am, which I do think I'm pretty high in common sense. And I don't think I've got a lot of great qualities, but I think that's one of them. Common sense is not so common, but I think I speak common sense a lot. 39 scholarship players in this game. Let me remind everybody. Those 39 players are 39 players K-State couldn't get. Okay? There you go. That's it. That's the way recruiting works. How many of those players were recruited off of a national championship at LSU to play in the SEC? The 39 scholarship players they have are 39 players that wouldn't go to K-State. You can use this all, you can take that line all you want, say 39 scholarship players. Great. How many do you need? You play 11 on each side of the ball. You don't need many more than that. The scholarship thing is overdone. The number of scholarships and the fact that these programs sometimes have like 120 players or more, adding in walk-ons, is also somewhat absurd. 39 scholarship players are all better than the recruits K-State gets. Don't be fooled by this. Stan Weber said it yesterday. LSU will play mean defense tonight. Kansas State is not a high-flying offense. When Kansas State scores, they do score on big plays. They score on big plays a lot. They do that by tricking you. They fool you. They lull you into the running game. Then they pop one over the top. Somebody's wide open, and it's a touchdown if they don't drop it. That's what they'll have to do tonight. LSU's defense legit. It's an SEC defense. I think we're looking at a low entertainment value here unless you're a fan of one of these teams or you just love old school football. I think you're going to see a lot of running the ball, a lot of clock moving. This could be an under 3 hour game, which is unheard of for a college game. You know, it starts at 8. You don't have to worry about staying up too late because these teams aren't playing late into the night. It's not going to be one of those games. I guess I like Kansas State. I guess I like them. They've got a full roster, a 42-year-old quarterback, and they ought to be able to win this game. They should. But don't lose sight of the fact those 39 scholarship players for the other team are, according to recruiting services, those 39 are better than anybody that plays for K-State. Or they were coming out of high school. And that's the way a lot of people look at this. I don't. I think Deuce Vaughn is a tremendous running back. I think K-State's got a couple of guys in the secondary that if we could sign them up right now to play for the Chiefs, I'm all in. Number two, if you're watching tonight, number two on number two and number 22 on defense, but two is just a missile. He's an absolute missile. Watch him hunt ball carriers down and hit like dynamite. They got a couple of real nice players on defense. They've got a great rush end. They've got a solid running back if they could pop some holes. K-State's got some things that they're pretty good at. Their problem every year is attrition. They get injuries. They have problems happen in the year, and they're just not deep enough. They should be deep enough tonight to win this game, the Texas Bowl against LSU. KKHI is proud to be partnered with Misers Sports. Misers Sports makes all the KK Has Issues t-shirts that we've handed out. We give those away to listeners at events. We thank Misers Sports for making those t-shirts. They can make promotional items for your business as well, whether it's t-shirts, ball caps, golf shirts for your golf tournament, things that you'd like to give to your best clients. Misers Sports can do that in the Northland. Call Daryl Miser, 816-741-8622. That's 816-741-8622. Misers Sports is online at misersports.com, or you can visit their office in the Northland, MISERS sports.com. They do ball uniforms this spring for your kids, all sports uniforms, letter jackets, and patches. They do singular patches for someone that's important to them. If they're not doing them at your school or they're not doing them as a group, a singular patch you can add, even if it was last year that your student didn't get something, a patch on their letter jacket, and you want to do it, they'll make one patch for you. Just call Daryl. He does it all. 816-741-8622. And Finch Knife Company, Spencer and Steve have been so kind to us. They've emailed us and said that you guys have just been great responding to their product and their traffic on Facebook and their brand awareness around the Midwest has really multiplied from their relationship with this podcast. We appreciate that and the kind words that they have to say about our listeners because you are the best. You're the best. And many of you for Christmas kept life from getting dull by getting a Finch pocket knife at finchknifeco.com. Don't forget, you can walk in and see them in person at Teague Tractor and Farm in Belton and coming soon to other locations as the word is getting out. If your store would like to carry Finch pocket knives, I will mention your store and where they're carried if you contact Spencer and Steve at finchknifeco.com. Just go to the website, the contact page, shoot them an email and say, we want to carry these at our store. And I don't care if you're out of town. You can be in Bismarck if you want to carry these anywhere in America, and they will carry them for you. You can carry them for them, and I'll mention them on the podcast, finchknifeco.com. And we end on a low, which I think is kind of a high. I made a mistake. It's terrible. I forget the topic I was talking about. I'm like, this isn't the same with this person. And I started making some comparisons. Like, one of them was Two and a Half Men. The sitcom wasn't the same without Charlie Sheen subbing Ashton Kutcher. We see that all the time. The Royals aren't the same with Cam Gallagher and not Salvador Perez. It's hard to sub something and have it be the same. And I made a terrible mistake with many of you because apparently this is split down the middle. And I gave my strong opinion that Van Halen was never the same after David Lee Roth left. And many of you just lit me up. And I'm going to defer to you because I'm just a casual Van Halen fan. I like David Lee Roth. I love Eddie Van Halen playing guitar, but I like David Lee Roth. I like the showmanship. I'm a child of the 80s. MTV was everything. When Van Halen was on MTV, it was David Lee Roth. He was dancing with girls. They were in scantily clad bikinis. He was hot for teacher in the classroom. This stuff, I mean, David Lee Roth was like the showman. And so to me, that was Van Halen. Van Halen, a lot of you are going to hate this. To me, they were more of an MTV band than what most Van Halen fans would have liked. They probably didn't like that. They were about the guitar riffs. You guys clobbered me and said 5150 is the best album they ever made. That was Sammy Hagar. It ain't David Lee Roth. What are you talking about? I learned my lesson. I'm not going to make that argument. I will say, whatever you want a band to be, that's fine. I'll scratch them from the list that the band was never the same without David Lee Roth. But I read that David Lee Roth was doing these concerts in Vegas at the House of Blues, and this was the end. He was never going to perform again. And he was going to do about 8 or 12 different dates at House of Blues in Vegas, and then it was over. And he's done a few of those, and now he's halting it, saying it's not about me. He's not exactly saying it's COVID or Omicron. I don't know. Maybe he didn't sell them out. I find that hard to believe. That's a small hall. I'm pretty sure he sold them out, and they were going for big money. He says, it's not about me. He's walking away. They say, is this the end? He was saying that was the end of his career, but now he's not saying that. He's saying, look, if they call me for a charity, Farm Aid, Kentucky Tornado Relief, call me. I'm available. So he's not saying this is the end, but he gave a great quote. He said, I was pretty sure I'd be the first member of Van Halen dead. That didn't happen. He's only 67. That's not old. He looks great, but we don't know what he's put in his body. We don't know if he's sick. He may be sick and not saying. There could be a lot of things going on here. We don't know. But he's not big and fat and stupid looking. He looks great. Looks like he's taking care of himself later in life. I think what he's implying is, wow, did I hurt my body for about 30 years when I was younger. I think that's probably what he's implying. He gave a great quote. This is one of my favorites. And I think this is a very wise quote to remember as we get older. It struck a nerve with me. I'm much younger than David Lee Roth, but it struck a nerve. As we're thinking about the new year, we're thinking about good things. People are thinking about weight loss, being healthy, doing the right thing, living your best life. He said, I was pretty sure I was going to be the first one dead, and I'm not, which means he obviously thinks he's going to be the next one dead. And he said, the object in the rearview mirror is me. That's a great quote. Maybe you've heard that one. I haven't heard it. I loved it. The object in the rearview mirror is me. Because the object may be closer than appears. You know the little line at the bottom of the mirror. It's not there anymore, but it used to be on the bottom of the mirror. Objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. That's right. David Lee Roth considers him the object in the rearview mirror. He says, that's me. You know, if he ever toured again, I think I'd just have to go see him just to see how flamboyant he may be. Vegas would be the way to go. Man, the pictures I saw from his shows that he did was the showgirls on stage. You can imagine the flamboyant attitude of a show like that in Vegas. I would go see that show. And again, I'm not the biggest Van Halen fan. I'm certainly no aficionado. They're not routinely on my playlist, but I think I'd go see David Lee Roth. I'd go see Sammy Hagar if it was in Cabo, at Cabo Wabo, something like that, because that's his place. I'd do that. We'll see what iteration they have with the band Van Halen going forward. As always, thank you so much for listening to KKHI. Hit that like or follow button if you don't mind. It really helps a lot. Spreading the word also helps. Tell your friends, tell your family about Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Hopefully they'll like our mix of fun things that we talk about here. Because I got issues, you got issues, the world has issues. We love talking about them and I love doing it. So please tell your friends. And if you haven't yet, wherever you listen, hit the like, follow, or subscribe button. I don't think any place really does subscribe anymore because there was the connotation that costs money. It doesn't cost money to like or follow the podcast, but it helps the podcast a lot. I'm trying to get those numbers up of likers and followers. So go ahead and hit that for me at Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.